Face-to-face transmission, Ehei Dogen. This is a splendid opportunity for Buddha Dharma to enter into mud and water. If you do not realize the fruit at this moment, when will you realize it? If you do not cut off delusion at this moment, when will you cut it off? If you do not become a Buddha at this moment, when will you do so? If you do not sit as a Buddha at this moment, when will you practice as a Buddha? Diligently examine this in detail. I'd like to take him up on that. Examine this in some detail. This question, if we don't sit as Buddha at this moment, when will we? You know, we might imagine that realization, enlightenment are things of the future, that nirvana is something that we attain someday after hundreds, thousands of lifetimes, who knows. But, you know, in our Zen tradition, we say we can't even guarantee another moment. We don't know how long this life will be. And we are actually always living only in the moment. Now, that's not to say we will not experience other moments, but we never experience them simultaneously. We are given this moment. This is all we ever have. And we can cultivate a habit mind that we will be happy someday, that we will awaken someday. When we have this or that, whatever we imagine those qualities may be, when we get those, then everything will fall into place for us. Maybe it's wisdom, maybe it's compassion, maybe it's a better, stronger character, kinder, wiser, somehow more insightful. Maybe it's money. Who knows? We might imagine at some point life will be better than it is now. And that's when we'll get it. All the circumstances just need to be laid out. Well, I need to have a good meal first. The issues that are troubling me right now in the world need to be resolved. And there's something lovely about that, actually, in a way. Our bodhisattva vow says, let's postpone our own enlightenment and save all beings first. Part of that is to help us be less self-centered, to help us enact our vows. And ironically, in enacting those vows, we are being Buddhas. The question is, can we realize it? What would that mean to realize it? If you do not become a Buddha at this moment, when will you do so? Like a little teasing question, isn't it? If you don't become a saint now, when will you become a saint? Well, I think what's happening here is Dogen is begging the question, what is it to be a Buddha? And that's really what we're invited to examine. What does it mean to cut off delusion? What does it mean to realize the fruit of practice? We have a chant that realizing delusions is enlightenment. Is that the same as cutting them off? Maybe. maybe realizing that we are thinking, that we are lost in our frustration, our anger, our sadness, our broken hearts, whatever it may be, our ambition. Maybe that is being Buddha. And we overlook it. We think, oh, this isn't good enough. I need to be a better version of myself before I'm actually Buddha. What an opening line, though, to this chant. This is a splendid opportunity for Buddha Dharma to enter into mud and water. I kind of want to leave out the water part for a moment. This is a splendid opportunity for Buddha Dharma to enter into mud. So his inclusion of the word mud is important. We know that the lotus grows in the mud. The lotus, this symbol of realization, needs the mud to exist. And we will always live in the mud ourselves. The mud of our own delusions, the mud of greed, anger, ignorance, the mud of a world on fire, as the Buddha described it. So much judgment and hatred in the world. This is so difficult to bear witness to this. And we may find it because we are like mirrors, you know. We are part of Indra's net, each of us like a jewel in Indra's net, reflecting all the other jewels in the universe. Some of them are gorgeous and beautiful. Snow carefully everywhere descending. Stars bright and shining on a cold night. This breath. Such a miracle to breathe, to feel this body, its weight upheld by the earth, to be alive. Incredible to be a sentient being, to be able to hear the world around us, the pipes with their joyful dance now quieting, just slowly bubbling in the corner. To be able to hear each other breathing. To just be sharing this space together. What an incredible moment this is. What a gift this is. Such a simple thing, so fulfilling when we are really present to it. What more do we need? We are allowing the Buddha Dharma to penetrate us, this universe manifesting inside our hearts. So simple. Nothing we need to do. Here we are, each of us manifesting the whole universe, each of us Buddhas. So clearly. But also so much trouble in this world, so much pain. So much injustice and just simple unkindness causing so much hurt. In that context, quite difficult to feel like a Buddha, Perhaps we are angry. And imagine my anger cannot be it. But this too is the way. This too is a loving heart that cares. But how can we be wise and compassionate in such times? We might wonder. You know, we have this incredible practice that we can rely on in difficult times. We can sit still and we can pay attention. We can ask ourselves, what is right here and right now, without needing to exclude anything? The joy, the beauty, the heartbreak, all of it can flower inside of our hearts. I think that sometimes when we really allow the difficulty in, it becomes transformed in some way. I think we struggle most when we fight against the reality, and the reality may be that we are rejecting our own broken hearts, our own frustration and anger. And when we just let them be, they can transform us. They can become the energy that we work with in the world, perhaps in a somewhat more skillful way because we have befriended them. Something that's been slightly helpful to me lately has been this dual practice, compassion and wisdom, thinking of them as two sides of a coin or two edges of a sword. Perhaps we can, with practice and discernment, look deeply into things and discern what actions are causing harm, and we can stand against those actions. You know, this is something we can do in this world, and I hope we all do in our own ways, whatever they may be, to express ourselves, to stand against unkindness, to stand for compassion for all beings. And of course, the place that this is tricky is, are we also compassionate with the people who we think are causing harm? That's hard, isn't it? One way I've been thinking about it is, I don't personally think that people are good or bad. I think that actions are, and perhaps even thoughts and beliefs can be. But here we are looking deeply into the self and finding that there is no fixed self. And yet we so quickly project a fixed self onto others. And that can place us in opposition to some fixed entity that actually only exists in our mind. And that may not be helpful. But on the other hand, we can certainly see the actions that are being done, and we can name them and stand instead for love. What happens when we do that, when we stand for love? Now, we may not be able to turn the tide. But we then are at least living with integrity. I'm often struck by the examples of living Buddhas in this world, of the actual Buddha who lived many years ago and went to try to stop a war between neighboring kingdoms, and he could not do it. This was Buddha. They ignored him. His own Sangha divided in half. He had a leader within his Sangha who, you know, formed a group, and they got angry with Buddha and left. Lost half his Sangha to an internal dispute. We might imagine that we're supposed to be perfectly skillful and effective all the time. Not even Buddha. We might think of Thich Nhat Hanh coming here to the United States trying to stop the Vietnam War, unable to do so for many, many years. We might think of the Dalai Lama hoping to free Tibet. And we can see that that did not happen. So many people living with great integrity, able to speak despite what they viewed as terrific, terrible injustices, with integrity, with the integrity of their practice and their vow. The Dalai Lama's comment, "My greatest fear is that I fear losing compassion for those who oppress us." It's such a lofty statement that, and very difficult, and we may find that we get sucked into our anger. But this is just an opportunity for us to allow the Buddha Dharma to enter into mud. And what does that mean but to allow our awareness to meet ourselves? To be curious about what is and what we are moment after moment, and to meet it with compassion and love and care. And in beginning there, we begin this work of transforming the entire world. Allowing the Buddha Dharma to enter into water, to enter into the pure boundlessness of existence, the emptiness, is easy. These mind states don't feel difficult to us. But interestingly, our practice with the mud is perhaps the most transformative and the most important. So if we imagine we're only supposed to be practicing with pure, clear states of mind, we are missing the point, and we are missing the opportunity to be at one with this world on fire and to transform it inside of ourselves and to step into that world with as much grace as we can, moment after moment. Living by our vow to attain the Buddha way. I vow to live the great Buddha way. This is a splendid opportunity for Buddha Dharma to enter into mud and water. If you do not realize the fruit at this moment, when will you realize it? If you do not cut off delusion at this moment, when will you cut it off? If you do not become a Buddha at this moment, when will you do so? If you do not sit as a Buddha at this moment, when will you practice as a Buddha? Diligently examine this in detail.